Jesus is our conqueror. Jesus is our conqueror. So setting up just a little bit of context here, this was the festival of Sukkot, which was also called the Festival of Tabernacles. And the purpose of this festival at this time was to remember the 40 years in the desert, okay? And so it's a time where they remembered, and they even build little houses, little kind of, it's also called the Festival of Booths, and they build little little temporary houses in the streets. They still do this today. In Jerusalem, they build little houses, and the roof has to be thatched, but open enough that you can still see the stars through them. And like the family goes out, it's like the most popular festival because it's a fun kind of family thing, is what it's turned into kind of today. But the purpose of that whole festival was just a remembrance of where we were, and just the and it also reminds them of the oppression that they've been under. The oppression and the cycle of oppression and freedom that they've found. And so that's why when they shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us," right? They're hearkening back to Psalm 118 here. We're going to talk about that more. But what they're saying is, "Lord, save us." This is possibly, Jesus is the conqueror they've been waiting for, the Messiah, the one who's been prophesied. And they heralded him as that. They put those palm branches down and they said, "This is the time. This is it. He's the one that's going to save us. He's the one that's going to deliver us from our oppressors, finally." Mm-hmm. But the point we want to take away here is that at least they got one point right in this. They missed a whole lot of who Jesus was, but only Jesus is capable of saving. Only Jesus, right? And Jesus is the only one that can conquer sin and death for us. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, and so to hear that, Jesus is our conqueror, because that's literally what they're saying. They're saying, "You are the one that conquers for us." We want to answer that question then. If that's true for them and that's true for us, we want to look at this and ask, what did he come to conquer, actually? Because what we'll find later is that the Israelites, or at the time, that culture, they thought, "You're coming to conquer us from something specific," and Jesus had a much bigger picture. And so sometimes it's like that for us. So we're going to answer that question. What did Jesus come to conquer for them and for you? And so the first thing is, he came, bless you, he came to conquer your history. He came to conquer your history. You know, what's really interesting is that, you know, this "Hosanna, Hosanna," they're shouting, right? That means, "Lord, save us, Lord, save us." And that, and the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is a direct correlation to Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 was written, you know, thousands of years before, or however long, don't quote me on the history thing. I only almost got a degree in history, guys. It's totally fine. But anyway, Psalm 118, at the time of David, he's saying, he wrote this down in this messianic prophecy, this prophecy about Messiah to come. And it says this interesting thing: "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." You know, we sing that. We sing, "Christ alone, cornerstone." That's where this comes from. "The Lord has done this in it, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so they are remembering that. And that was a prophecy that they held on to as a people, to say, when the Messiah comes, this is what it will be like, right? And so in that moment, you know, it's really interesting about the idea of messianic prophecy. One, just the miracle of thousands of years before, people were talking about Messiah is going to come. And even the fact that he rode in on a donkey. Okay, that was, I think it was Zechariah. Anyway, where in scripture it was prophesied. It was prophesied. He will come hundreds of years. He will come and he will be riding on a donkey. Okay, someone look that up and make sure. I'm giving you permission to look it up. Okay, so what's really interesting about that is, I was looking this up and it said 28 generations had passed since those words were written down. 28 generations of people right? Had lived and died, waiting for this Messiah to come, and then here he is. He comes riding into Jerusalem, and all the people, you know, there's been hubbub and kind of bustling and talking about this Jesus, and then here he comes in riding on the donkey, and they are like, oh, it's him. They're having this revelation moment. It is him. And they're laying their palm branches down on their coats. That's a symbol of honor, right? Don't walk on the dust. Walk on these. Walk on our coats and these branches and receiving him that way. And I think it's so interesting that that they, in that moment, you know, when they're saying these words, what they're saying is all of history is now dealt with. This is the fulfillment. All of history has been waiting for this king. All of history, and their history, if you know anything about their history, right? It's cycles of struggle and rebellion and complaining, and then God saving this cycle of history that they've lived is now dealt with and conquered. Does that sound familiar to you? The cycle of history, your history, right? Who knows how many, I mean, not 20 generations, you haven't been alive that long, but it sure feels like that sometimes, right? When we're living in those cycles. And he came not only to conquer their history and to say, I'm the fulfillment of all the things that you've been waiting for, but that is exactly how it is for you as well. Does that make sense? Do you connect with that? It's so amazing.
Yeah.
That idea.
Are you thankful for that? Yeah. You're thankful that not only your history, but your parents' history, your grandparents' history, your entire family line is conquered in the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Right? I love thinking about the fact that our history itself is erased in many ways. It makes me think of when I went to school, to college, I had a class on, I think it was Exodus or something like that. And they talked about how ancient Egyptians did not record any losses, historically speaking. So like they would have their records of, you know, their conquests and battle and all this kind of stuff, but they would never write down any loss. And so as generations were built, they would look back on their history and like look at who we are. We've never lost a single battle, like, you know, because there's no record of it. So like nobody really knew. Nobody really knew the losses, right? And that's what Jesus does for us, guys. Like, he wipes away all the losses. Every bad thing that we've ever done, every choice that we've made, every unfortunate thing we've ever been caught up in, all the cycles of sin and death and brokenness that we record, we write it on our arms sometimes. We have the scars to show it in our lives and our psyches, but Jesus erases every trace of that. Amen. And when he looks at us, all he sees is victory.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Mm. That's what he came to do for us. He rode in on that colt to erase our pasts, to erase the sin and the death and the brokenness, and to give us a new future of victory.
Some of you need to hear that today, okay? Because some of you crossed the line last week, and maybe your more recent history, the last 6 days or so, maybe it's 6.5 right after church on Sunday, I don't know. You need to hear that, okay? The mistakes that you made maybe yesterday, right? Jesus has come to fix and redeem that in your life. And some of you need to hear that just in general. You know, even I've found this as a pastor, even people that have given their lives to Jesus sometimes struggle with the shame of who they were still. Right? They're like, I've given my life, and yes, Jesus is Savior, and I know what he saved me from, right? You ever had that? Like, I know what he brought me out of, and it was a mess back there. And I found that sometimes people still carry, like, shame about that. You know, like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. And we should have a repentant heart, but we should also have this grateful, praising heart. Like, I don't need to be plagued with shame anymore. I don't need to be plagued with the bogged down, like, I'm a terrible human and thank God for Jesus. That's not what he wants you to live in. He knows. He knows who you, what you did and who you were, and he died for you anyway. He came to conquer that history. He dealt with it. And, you know, he didn't just sweep it under the rug, okay? It wasn't like, okay, we'll just clean that mess up and, you know, it's still hiding there a little, or there's still, like, dust particles of it in your life. He came, dealt with it, fixed it, and then even put purpose to it. That's the most amazing thing about Jesus, is that you think, man, I messed up so bad and it can never get fixed. Like, it is what it is. Jesus died. I know he fixed me in a big level, but what he does, Romans 8:28 says what? And we know in all things, how many things? All things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things, and that includes your history, okay? That maybe the choices that you made or other people made for you that have hurt you. And so some of you need to hear that today, that Jesus came as a conqueror in your life, and he came and he conquered your history. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus, Jesus is my Savior, that means that every last thing in your history has been dealt with. So if you have any ounce of doubt in that, or shame, or something that, you know, that's chaining you back from that, that's one of those chains that you need to cross the line, you know, spiritually speaking, and say, Lord, no, I'm not going to hold on to that, because you don't hold on to that anymore. Amen?
The next thing that Jesus came to do is he came to conquer your brokenness. He came to conquer our brokenness. So the people in Jerusalem at that time, right? They understood who the Messiah was, right? They were longing for the Messiah, the one that was supposed to come, the anointed one of Israel that was going to come and save them from their oppressors, right? And so they're thinking in that moment, okay, here's the Messiah, right? We've seen all these incredible deeds by him, right? He's done miracle upon miracle. We've seen him feed thousands of people from nothing, essentially, right? We've seen huge, massive crowds following this guy, right? This was unprecedented. They'd never seen anybody like this. And so they're thinking, wow, this is the guy. This is the one that's going to save us from the oppression of the Roman Empire. That was their thought process. So when they're crying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, they're thinking, okay, David was this great and mighty king, the last one that really did away with all of their oppressors, right? And so they're thinking, the Son of David has come, our new Messiah. He's going to come, and he's going to ride in like a conquering hero, mm-hmm. and he's going to wipe out the Roman Empire, and we're going to be good. And everything's going to be great, because our external oppressors are going to be no more in our lives. And you know what? They came from this long line of this cycle in their history, right? They'd be doing great, and then all of a sudden they'd mess up, and then an oppressor came, whether it was the Babylonians or the Persians or who knows what, right? There was even themselves, their own kings turned on them, right? And so they had this long, long line in history of oppression. And so they're thinking, if we could finally just get freed from being under the thumb of some other government, then we're going to be who we're supposed to be. And Jesus is the guy that's going to do that for us. Mm-hmm. But they missed something so vital. Their biggest mistake was that they assumed that Jesus' only role was to free them from their current circumstances. And that was it. They missed that he's capable of so much more than just lifting one oppressive area in their lives.
You know, what's so amazing about this retelling is that Jesus riding in on that donkey, he knew, he was all-knowing, right? 100% man, but 100% God. He knew Friday was coming. He knew the cross was waiting for him. He knew as these people praised him that he was going to endure that. He knew. And he knew that this aspect of, they think it's about the circumstance thing, but I came to conquer brokenness for the whole world. Not just for this time, but for the whole world. Is it like that for you in your life? Do you sometimes, is the majority of your prayer life, Lord, get these external circumstances worked out. Come on. This financial difficulty that I'm having, just help us get through it, right? Or whatever it is, this person in my life, just remove them or whatever, right? We often pray, a lot of our prayer life is about fix the external circumstances around me, ride on into on your donkey, onto these external circumstances and conquer them for me, because they're causing me a lot of hardship and I'm a little bit uncomfortable and I don't know what's going to happen, and it's really a struggle for me. And what Jesus says is that, you know what, you've been in a cycle of brokenness. So an example, instead of fixing your financial circumstances, I'm going to fix your heart. I'm going to come in and fix the internal issue that you have so that then the victory can pour out into your external circumstances. Do you hear that? It's not like God causes hardship in us, right? We sometimes think like, oh, God's like have this weird view of God that he's wanting us to struggle financially and he wants us to learn our lesson. I think more than anything, he's like, let me fix you. Stop praying for the external circumstances to fix and start praying that you would have an open heart. Let me ride in on my donkey, the King of Peace. That's a symbol of that donkey that he rode in on. Not a white stallion, but a King of Peace to bring peace and the fix to your internal circumstances. Isn't that just amazing that he came to do that for them and he came to do that for us? He came to conquer brokenness in your soul, right? We were born humans, right? We're made by God, and very shortly after, we chose a different way. He created us with free choice. And so that sinful nature now has passed from Adam into his kids, down into the next generations, all the way to now. Even those cute little newborn babies, I see one over there, they are broken in their soul, right? They haven't yet maybe externally sinned, although when they're two, you find out that happens. But we know that about us as humans. We are plagued by this. And Jesus said, I came with the cure for what's called Adamic depravity, depravity through Adam. I came to cure you as a race. And that's what Jesus did. He conquers our brokenness and the external circumstances follow suit.
Yeah. Jesus came to conquer, not to help you cope. You hear that?
It's good. That'll preach.
He came to conquer 100%, not to help you cope. Nowhere in Scripture are you going to find, well, you just got to struggle through. And, you know, there's going to be good days and bad days, but you just got to keep pressing on. And there's nothing, you're not going to find that. Because Jesus came to conquer, not to help us cope. His death on the cross made a way for sin to be conquered, for brokenness to be conquered 100% and just like that in your life. That was the significance of the line last week. But that is a significance that we carry every single moment of every day with us, so that when we feel like we're coping, we say, no, we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the power. Do you need that today?
Yeah.
Do you need to hear that today? Sin has been conquered in your life already with Jesus' death on the cross. Brokenness and hurt, all those things, everything that weighs you down has already been taken care of on the cross. All you have to do is own it. All you have to do is say, yeah, I need that, and I accept that in my life, and not understand that I think things are going to be better now. Understanding that, no, I am free in every aspect, in every way in my life. I am free from the chains and the bondage of sin. That is what Jesus came to do. And anything less than accepting that 100% in your life and owning that 100% in your life is saying that the cross isn't enough. But the cross is enough.
Amen.
Amen. The cross is enough.
You know, I just want to say, as a pastor, I feel like I'm growing and learning so much about the power of God. And lately when I pray for you guys and over things, I've just realized, like, I believe the gospel. You know, and we all say, yeah, I know, I believe it. But the more I see chains conquered in your life, the more, literally down the freeway the other day, I'm like, over Red Rock, I believe the gospel, right? I believe it. Amen. He sets us free. I've seen transformation in you guys and in my own life and in my co-pastor. All of us, we're just really on this turning page in our church of freedom. Do you believe it? I believe the gospel. I'm so
Amen.
Excited. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that comes to our last point. What he's come to conquer is he came to conquer your heart. He came to conquer your heart. You know, he rode in, and I did look it up. It was Zechariah, okay, that said that the donkey
well done,
was going to happen.
That history major
yes,
is serving you
it's
well.
It's there. I'm still credible for now. My husband would disagree, but he rode in and the people are praising him. And this is the first time that Jesus is really openly sharing, I am Messiah, right? So if anyone ever tells you, Jesus never said he was the Messiah, you can say, yes, he did. He said it multiple times. I'm the one, I'm the Savior. But this is the time, you know, normally he'd say, don't tell anybody, right? He'll talk to his disciples, just hang on. It's not time yet for me to that to be released. But now he rides into Jerusalem, that city, to his people, and he's like, okay, I'm here, it's me. And they know it. They see that in him, okay? But what's interesting is the same people that are shouting, Lord, save us, that messianic prophecy, are the same people that later this week, it says in scripture, the crowd turned on him quickly. And they were the people that were shouting, crucify him. Their Messiah. Crucify him. Crucify him. They chose a murderer to be released over him. Is that, it's so funny in the church, we celebrate Palm Sunday, but really what it is this looming Sunday of Jesus saying, I know you herald me now, but when I didn't conquer the external circumstances for you in a couple days, you're gonna be mad, and you're gonna turn, and you're gonna nail me to a cross, and I know that, and I'm gonna do it anyway, because I love you, and I'm here to fix the cycle. I'm here to fix the brokenness, not the external.
Yeah.
You know, he came to conquer your heart. The fact that Jesus went to the cross, that amount of love. I was reading a person that I know that just struggles with this, the cross idea, and just how bad it made her feel. So she's like, I don't believe it. I don't like it. I don't like how bad that makes me feel, right? Because the cross is, it's just this act of love that Jesus endured for us. And it shouldn't make us feel that shame, you know, necessarily, but it should make us get on our knees in gratitude and say, thank you for what you did for me. He wins our hearts, right? He demonstrates love. You know, ladies, you like when your husband brings you flowers or sends you a nice text. Jesus died for you. He went to the cross to win your heart. He came to conquer your heart. Amen?
Yeah. One of the other miraculous things of the, you know, thousands that Jesus really did is that when he rode in on that donkey, he understood every moment of that, that they didn't get it. Mm-hmm. As they're laying their cloaks and those palm branches down, and he's riding right by him, and they're shouting to him, giving him these praises, he knew they didn't understand. And he did it anyway. He went to the cross anyway. He still died for them anyway. And he still dies for you when we don't get it. He did that for you when we don't get it. They laid down palm branches. He laid down his life.
Amen.
There's a big difference there. He didn't go in just to be victorious for a moment. Just to be in that season, to be able to say, look at me, look what I've done for these people. I've freed them from one oppressor. He laid down his life so he could be freed from every oppressor and for all of history.
Amen.
That's what he did for us. And he wants your heart. That's why he did that. Imagine Jesus' heart in that moment. As he's riding on that donkey and people are pretending to worship what they don't really understand. And he's looking at them knowing full well that these were the same people that were going to be spitting on him as he carried the cross, the instrument of their salvation from their brokenness, as he carried that and stumbled right in front of them. He knew every moment of it. But his love for us was so great that he did it anyway.
Yeah.
So I want to ask a question today. Focusing on this king that emptied himself completely for us, like no king ever in history. Have you given Jesus your heart? Not to cope, but for him to conquer.
Amen.
Have you done that? Do you feel like your heart is conquered? If you don't, let me tell you that it's time to let him conquer it. So I want you to bow your heads. I want you to feel this in this moment. I want you to search your heart. If you are a coping person, if you're going through this life just thinking there's nothing else for me but to just try to struggle through and hope that tomorrow is better, you're missing it.
Amen.
Right here in this moment, if you need Jesus, the conqueror, to come into your life and to ride through and to wipe out brokenness, to wipe out your history, then let that be the moment right now. If you want that in your life, raise your hand. Do you need a conqueror today? Do you need that conqueror? Amen. Mm-hmm. Then own him as conqueror in your life. Own him as conqueror. Tell him, Jesus, you have set me free. I am free. I want you to own that. Mm-hmm. Say it to yourself. I am free. I am free. Not a little bit. I am completely 100% free because Jesus has conquered my heart. That is something to rejoice over.
Amen.
That is something to rejoice over. Open your eyes and feel that weight lifted from your life. Feel that history wiped clean and move forward knowing you are going to live a conquered life.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have the worship team come forward. You know, it's interesting in the church. I've been talking with Pastor Dave. You don't know who Pastor Dave is. He's the pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship, and he's basically the pastor of this church, too. But he's Cody and my pastor in this season. And we meet with him, and, you know, he talks a lot about being broken by the church, meaning like we do things within the church and sometimes we don't even know why we do them. Like, bow your heads, close your eyes. Why do we do that, right? Jesus, when he prayed, looked up to heaven, right? And so Dave, now when we meet with him, makes us pray with our eyes open, looking at each other. So he's really, really super awkward. Yeah, we made our worship team do it one night at practice and it was like so weird, the weirdest thing. And we didn't do it again, yeah. But anyway, all that to say, you know, I think kind of we've treated salvation a little bit like that in the church too. Like, raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus. Like, it's a one and done thing. And don't hear me wrong here. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, you gave your life to Jesus, you just lost it because you sinned. You lost your salvation. That's not how that works. But what I do believe is we should ask that question, has Jesus conquered your heart? Do you want Jesus to conquer your heart? That's a salvation message, right? And so it's okay if you let him conquer your heart 30 years ago. Maybe he was conquered back then, but he's not conquered. He hasn't conquered it today, right? We need to step in to that. And so we're going to end a little different today. Usually we'll say, bow your heads, close your eyes, raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus. But I think today what I'm going to say is keep your eyes open, okay? Lift your hands to heaven. No, just kidding. But really, if you want to say, Jesus, I want you Lord of my life, you came to conquer my history, you came to conquer my brokenness, and you came to conquer my heart, and I'm giving it to you, would you stand up? How about that? Would you stand? If that's your prayer in your heart, it's okay. Yep, you stand up. It's okay if you're not quite there yet, you're not sure, that's okay. We're not judging you for that, but we want to be confident as his followers, that he came as our conqueror and we give our lives, that he is the only thing. Cody started this message by saying, nobody else can do this for you. No other thing can do this for you. Nothing can conquer that brokenness in your life, that sin, that addiction, whatever that hurt is that parent caused you or that family member caused you or somebody else caused you in your childhood. Nobody else can fix that, not even you. No self-help book, no amount of counseling, no level of medication. I'm not negating any of those things, but the reality is that only Jesus Christ is our conqueror. Amen? Only he is the fix. And so when we say things like we are storytellers, we understand that we believe the gospel. And if we believe the gospel, we understand he conquers us, he conquers everything in us for his glory, then we better be telling other people about that, right? we better not be shy about saying, come to church with me on Easter. You know, it's so neat. In our tribe groups, we're doing these, I think it's coming to an end soon, but we've been saying, reach out and meet your neighbors. And so some of you have done that, and I know you've had like ice cream socials and potlucks and things, because just to get to know who even lives on my street. And I think it was Sandy this week had near 100 people at the corner of her house. Can you imagine if all of those kids and those adults, that would be a second service, that would be another church plant. That would be the essence of storytelling if every one of them came to know Jesus. I'll ask you again, do you believe the gospel? We're going to sing this song. It's called Heart Abandoned. And, you know, I just don't want these lyrics to pass you by. As you read them, make them your prayer. Maybe look up to heaven, whatever. Be unbroken in that regard and just tell God, give me a heart abandoned for you. Conquer my heart. And if there's anything in me, search me, know me, bring it out. I don't care if it's painful. I don't care if it causes me to have to change. Bring it out. I want it dealt with. I want it conquered. Amen. I'm going to pray for us. God, thank you so much that you rode in that day, Lord, and you didn't just ride in just for a moment. It wasn't this campaign trail to gain popularity, Father. You rode in as a conqueror. You rode in to conquer our history. Father, thank you for the way that you deal with our shame, our past mistakes, the mistakes that other people made toward us, the mistakes or the brokenness that just comes from living in a broken world. Father, you fix it. We believe. We believe. God, thank you that you conquer our sin. Father, that gaping hole in our souls, Father, you come, you conquer, you put us back together that we could be in right relationship with you. Father, we believe that you do that. And Father, thank you for the way that you've demonstrated your love for us. Lord, you know the ways that we will turn our back on you sometimes, God, in our doubt or in those hard moments when circumstances hit us, God. We forget how you rode in, the King of Peace, the Conqueror. Father, forgive us now and help us, Lord. Your word is clear that it shouldn't be that way. That's not what you have for us. You conquer once and for all and every day, Father. Lord, you bring life and life abundant to us. That means heaven and also just abundant life here on earth, Father. That's what you bring when you ride in. And so, Lord, we surrender to you. We sing this song in confidence, God. We believe. And so, Father, we want to be a church abandoned to you that lays down not just our cloaks or our palm branches, but our very lives, God, for you to rule. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.